Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Soul Stream on blogtalkradio.com.
Unhinged. You were like some desperate howling demon. You frightened me. Do it again.
Nancy, you don't have to say that
yes.
So often.
You didn't have to make a tape
really?
Recording of it either.
Oh, baby. Hello, everyone. This is Soul Stream.
407. Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. We're back in the saddle again. Nancy, it's been what? Since you and I got together? Months. Months.
About 3 months.
Yeah. It's been about 3 months. We've both been kind of on our own separate journeys with things. You've been taking care of someone that's been ill and doing some spiritual growth of your own. And and I've been doing similar things. I've been dealing with a sick family member and been going back and forth with trying to get that all stabilized. So that's been going on. And I had to kind of put the show on hiatus until we got that. 2 weeks, 3 months and 2 weeks. 3 months and 2 weeks. My God. Yeah, Castle 407 says that. Yeah, I tend to think so. I mean, I did do a show a couple of weeks back and kind of got my feet wet, you know, back in the game and had a little help from Debbie Wells joined me. She's another show host out here on Blog Talk. She runs Special Family Connection, which is a show for people who are basically have different challenges in life with, you know, developmentally disabled children, you know, autism, things like that. Real good show. So you ought to give that a listen. Mom just kept turning up sick, and it ended up, matter of fact, I mean, we had another go around with a near visit to the hospital this week. So finally, there's been some realization on both our parts that this is the new normal, and, you know, there still needs to be a life. So we're doing that, and I've been basically kind of not doing much with mediumship. So I'm going to get back kind of on my sea legs here. And I did do some readings a couple weeks ago. Going to do some tonight. I was on last night. As a matter of fact, I was on Curious Times, and Chris had me on. And we were talking, I think Christina Nelson was listening in, and she did some readings kind of in my stead because I wasn't ready to read just yet that night. So we talked about the Queen Mary, and there were some EVPs we're going to play a little bit in, later in the show. So I am going to get to readings. I see a number of callers out there. I see a 916, a 561, a 661, and a 757, pretty much in that order. So we'll take those calls and get. I'm out of practice there, Nancy. I cannot speak. I'm still trying to figure
sign
out where
language.
The controls are in this place. Hell. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, what's been going on with you? I mean, people were kind of noticing you were not around much and the world.
Oh, a lot of people commented. A lot of people wondered if I was upset, if I was mad. I was getting kind of disappointed in Facebook, burned out, and aside from that, I have a dear friend that 1 month after she retired was diagnosed with mesothelioma.
Oh, boy.
And it's painful. And there's three different kinds you can get. And you can get it in the thoracic area, the chest area. You can get it in the abdominal area. And for you guys, you can get it surrounding your testicles.
Ow.
And, yes. And my friend got it in the thoracic area. And the pain she was feeling with every breath was like big needles going into her chest. And before it got to that point that she was just saying it was pain, they thought it was pneumonia, they thought it was pleurisy, and when they got her in there and they checked her out really good, they found out that she had a pretty good dose of mesothelioma. Well, this has changed her life immensely. She has now had to think it of herself and doing what she's able to do in a different manner. She is looking at her life like, so to speak, what do I have now? What's my future? What do I expect? What can I expect? How much time? Because the prognosis is never good with that. She's also finding out that mesothelioma, there's not that much known about it. So the less known about a particular disease or disorder, the more limited your selections are for treatment. So she went to Kaiser. She's a Kaiser person. And I went with her, a couple of us that are supporting her. We take turns accompanying her to her doctor's visits. And this one doctor says, well, you know, there's two surgeries we can do. And it takes two doctors to do these surgeries. And for you, there's two in California. If there wasn't only one, then they'd have to go to someplace like Texas and have this doctor flown in and blah blah blah. And this doctor's talking to her about this, and I'm listening. And I said, so, you know what? I did not want to be the one to ask what the prognosis was.
Yeah.
You know. But he kept saying it was serious in this stage, and you know, it's quite, the left lung is quite thoroughly involved. Not the inside of her lung. It's so funny. The inside of her lung is clear. Your outer side of your lung, outer wall of your lung, has a pleural lining. There's also a pleural lining on the outside of your chest wall. Cavity. These two pleural linings are covered with mesothelioma, which looks like little nodes. And so the surgeries that they're talking about, the one is just going in there and scraping off the pleural lining. The other one is involved going in there and removing the whole left lung. But the way Kaiser was coming across to her, like it was not, they were talking about very radical surgery, you know, blah, 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 you know, and it was not a very, it sounded like it was hopeless. And at the end of that visit, she even said to me, she goes, you know, Nancy, if it's going to be so hopeless, why should I even go through it? I said, you know what? This is your choice. But don't go on just this guy's say-so. So she looked up some doctors that specialize in mesothelioma. One of them said UCSF. And she got a whole different attitude about this surgery. She said, I have done those. I think you, of a lot of patients, could survive because you're a healthy woman, you're a healthy-looking woman, you know, and blah, 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 blah. And for the first time, she had some hope.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, because she tends to be a very spiritual person, she's going to get home tonight from Brazil. She went to go see this guy called John of God. And I don't know if anybody's heard of him, but I've heard an awful lot about him. I know a lot of other people have heard about him. And he, like, performs miracles. Not that she's counting on the fact that she's going to get one, but knowing her, she's going over there with the best intentions and the best hopes, and knowing that she couldn't forgive herself if she didn't go, and see if anything could be done.
Yeah.
So she's coming home tonight. I know that might be a rough journey on her. So I don't know what kind of shape she's going to be in, so I'm kind of like on pins and needles. You know, I'm not going to talk to her tonight. I'm going to talk to her tomorrow to see how she's feeling. It's been a hard adjustment for her. She's been a very active woman. She can't talk a lot, and she can't be around a lot of people where there's conversation. She can't be moving around a lot before her pain starts breaking through her meds. They got her on something called, what is it? It's a stronger form of Vicodin. I think it's called Doxycodone.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
She has to take that about 4 times a day.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, my uncle Mike had, in 2003, his wife, my aunt Lee, she had jaw cancer, and she had just died. It was September of 2003, and she had been dead 10 minutes when Mike had been having difficulties. The phone rang. Mm-hmm. He answered the phone. Still, the bodies of his wife is still in the house, and he gets the news that he has mesothelioma.
Oh,
and 3 months later, it was actually, October, November, December. Yeah, it was early December. I ended up, my family was, my mother and father were off in Hawaii, and no one else was there, but the word came out, and he was in Kaiser, and they had really botched the whole thing with him, and no one wanted to talk about mesothelioma, but that's what he had. And so they were refusing to basically deal with it, and we got there. And they were just wanting this problem to go away. You know, that's kind of my feeling. That's my opinion, so that I'm covering myself here. But it was one of my first experiences with being there in a passing. And I actually had a kind of a spontaneous mediumship thing happen where spirit came through, and his family came out and met with us. And I had never met some of them before. And they didn't know what was happening, and I suddenly found myself spouting all this knowledge about exactly what they were doing and how they were doing it. And he did, and it really helped them, and they were blown away because it was almost like I was supposed to be there to help bring in this thing work, to go through and to work as well as it did. And I left the hospital about 10 minutes before he passed, so I said my goodbyes to him, and, I've known him all my life, and so I kissed him goodbye, and let his closer family be there with him to say goodbye through, and see him off. And we started having experiences with him coming around the house, and especially after my dad's stroke. And he was there with us basically through quite a bit of it, and he still occasionally pops in. The reason I'm bringing this in is because, I'd be willing to try to, kind of ask him to just be around, your friend. If you're she's up for that, I could basically make a request, because he's pretty, he's a pretty neat guy. And, I think he would be willing to be around and just be, just be a spirit in the background, providing support whatever way he could,
I think I'd appreciate it. I think she would, because, she is, her and her husband have been divorced for years. None of her kids live with her. They're all grown up and have lives of their own. And the one daughter that she really wants to be with her mom lives all the way in San Diego. This little episode, this horrific medical issue has done one thing. It has brought her family together and made the people who just took her for granted realize how precious she is. You know, it's just, you know, I'm not saying it's that maybe they took her for granted, but it's like, I don't know, it's a matter of personality, but she hasn't talked to her ex in years. And then there was a conversation. They were texting. The younger daughter lives in San Diego that wanted to come up and be with her mom, couldn't come up on weekends because she didn't have a car. Her car died big time. And she just didn't have enough money to get a car. And her brother, the one that's been kind of distant from the mom, found out. He goes, I didn't know that she didn't have a car. And so what does he do? He turns around and tells Dad, did you know that she didn't have a car? She wants to come up and see Mom, and she can't because she doesn't even have a car for herself. And the dad said, fly up this weekend. I guess he paid her airfare.
Wow.
And he said, I'm taking you car shopping. And I want you to be able to see your mom when you want to see your mom. And maybe stay with her, too. And he didn't buy her a car. He leased her a car.
Huh.
You know, for right now, he leased for 3 months. John?
Well, yeah.
Oh, I thought I heard this weird noise. I thought, like, there was no airtime going. Anyway, Then they had a conversation, my girlfriend and her ex, they were texting, and she just said, I just want to thank you so much for doing that, because it's taken one of the many huge burdens I have on my mind off of my shoulders. And the thing is, I asked her if she knew where she picked this up, because if it's in the lungs, it usually has to do with the asbestos thing. And she said, well, her husband worked at the airport around some machines that she thinks that, you know, there was asbestos involved. And sometimes the people that work around the asbestos and the things where the asbestos is involved are not the ones that come down with the mesothelioma. It's the ones at home that handle their clothing and wash it where the powder gets thrown up into the air and everything like that. That's
wow.
Something else they're finding out about mesothelioma. So, you know, they talked about her sickness, and he was sorry that she had to have this horrific illness. And I think that a door of communication was open, and hopefully a door of just kind of remembering that this is a person that you cared about one time, and that's the mother of your children. And I think there was some kind of feelings of consideration and compassion that were involved, which that's good. But aside from that, you know, that's why the friends are around, because there's nobody else there. So that's why...
Well.
We're looking out for her,
so
if anybody could look out for her on any side, and if anybody can say a prayer or do a blessing or whatever you've got for my friend Carolyn, I really appreciate it, because all she's done all her life is give to people, and very sweet about it. And I think that it would just be nice if she could be comfortable and anxiety-free, you know?
Well...
A cure, a total healing would be wonderful, but if all we can get is comfort and no anxiety, I would be most grateful. That's all,
Okay, well, we'll do that, and I'll mention it on my show page and on Facebook, too. And I'm just glad to see you know, back here. I mean, what you're doing is really good, and... You know, it's same sort of thing that, you know, I've been going through. This has been going on 6 years now, both parents, you know. And it's just been an adventure, but I've learned a lot You know, I mean, it's one thing to be a medium and deal with death where you're dealing with spirits who've crossed over. It's another to deal mm-hmm. with people who are in the process of crossing over, and it is not pleasant. And I sometimes, you know, look at God and go, why did you have to make this so hard? You know, this is really sucky. This is really bad. But this is where they get their most growth and the most experience, the most memories happen. You know, at the end of the life and all the, and it brings, it's just like you're talking about bringing the people together and doing all that. This is the time when, instead of using a medium like, you know, me or other folks out there, say everything you can now, you know, and even if a person's not sick, you know, tell somebody, if you love somebody, tell them that every day, because you don't know when they walk out the door what you're going to have happen. And I've had it where we've had people on who didn't get to say that. And now they're using one of us, and it's a service we're glad to do. We're glad to try to get into contact with them, and often we do. But it's, you know, better if you did it in real life and you're holding them and touching them. You know, there's just something about that. So you got to do that, man.
I started to she's British, and although she's in a circle of friends that I have been in with for well over 10 years, and we, every time we see each other, we hug each other. You know, we're just really very close. And I've just started hugging her more and telling her I love her.
That's,
you know,
what
I
you
just look
do,
right in her eyes, and I just say, I really love, you know, I love you. Take care.
Yeah.
If you need something at 4 a.m., call me, you know. And sometimes I think I feel worse about it than she does, and I just have to smack myself. You know.
That's how it was with my father. I mean, my mom and I were talking about that today, coming back from, she was getting some testing done, and we were talking about my dad, and he really wanted to go, you know. He wanted to keep living, but he finally realized he'd run out of road, and he just wanted out of it. And he felt, he went to his death, actually, one of the bravest people I've ever seen, because he was cracking jokes all the way to the end. I mean, leave it to my father to be joking around at the time of his passing, you know. And he was just, he was teasing the hell out of me, and I was completely mortified, you know. This is my father. And, you know, and then you know, when he had the final seizure, and he sort of was out of it at that point, and I turned around and saw, you know, the angel of death walk by, and I literally saw the angel of death walk by outside the door, and I went to pieces. And, you know, it's rough, you know, but... you know, what's interesting is the next day I saw my father, you know, he was in spirit, and I did see him like I was looking at a regular person, but he was gliding, you know, past the kitchen, turned in the formal dining room and headed for the laundry room, and then disappeared right in front of me. And I'm sitting there just blown away. And I've tried many a time to say, you know, did I really see that? And every time I analyze it, it's like, yeah, I saw that. That was real. That was Dad. You know, he survived, and we've had plenty of interactions with him ever since. So, you know, he's absolutely fine there, you know, and that's the thing is, you know, letting him, you know, somebody who's terminally ill or, you know, potentially terminally ill, let them know that, you know, there is life after. So that's a big deal. And, you know, what we do in this work, I mean, we usually get them after they've gone over, but a lot more emphasis now, you know, with the both of us going through this, you know, with people we care about. And, wow, that's all I can say is, wow, I don't know, man. I'm just, you know what, but it was funny. We made the decision as a family here at this end to, just keep going, you know, and I try to have a life. As a matter of fact, I mean, GRI, we're back in the saddle again doing cases, and we've lined up a case for July 26th. And, mom is going to be an investigator with me, and along with a bunch of other people. Oh, yeah, Moon's, Debbie Wells says from Special Family Connection, it's the super moon tonight. I'm going to photograph
super
it tomorrow
moon.
Night. It's super moon, dude. Super moon. It's really big. It's a really big moon. Don't moon the moon, man. Everybody, don't moon the moon.
Okay.
No,
John,
anyway,
no.
yeah, we're going to be going out to the Gold Hill Hotel and staying. A number of us are going to be in the miner's cabin, which I've already reserved. Some are going to be in the hotel formal. And we're going to be doing a one-night investigation in Virginia City, and then Saturday we'll probably do some day investigation and head on home. There's some changes coming along because we're not doing investigation to prove to everybody else that, you know, spirit exists. We don't have time for that. That's already been proven. We're doing this because we've developed a relationship with these spirits at the Yellow Jacket Mine where this hotel is at. You know, it's right on the property. And we find them to be very enjoyable, and they're very good to us when we go there, and we always take them whiskey. So we're going to give them a nice whiskey. And Mom, today her and I are talking, and I talked about the whiskey, and she goes, wouldn't they like cookies? And so she is going to make cookies for these ghosts.
My mother
is making cookies for ghosts. Yeah, and so she's making cookies for the ghosts, and we're going to do that. That's in the works. And,
Where is this mine? Where is this place?
If you've seen Ghost Adventures, they've had, I think, two episodes where back in 2004 and then recently 2013 time frame, they stayed at the Gold Hill Hotel, which is just outside of Virginia City on the road going in, maybe three-quarters of a mile out of town. And it is it's the oldest hotel west of the Mississippi. You know, it's been in continuous operation all this time. And
the reason I was asking, John, is because it wasn't that I heard of the hotel, it's that I had heard of the mine. I used to have a friend that had a gold mine in Jackson.
Yeah.
And California. And so he was kind of familiar with all different kinds of mines all over the place. And that's why I was wondering kind of like the general area where it was, because I was trying to recall what he had said to me, where it was.
Well, what it was they built the hotel, and then right next to it was the working mine, the Yellow Jacket Mine, which is right there. Mm-hmm. So the two were in very close proximity. And what ended up happening was they built this miner's shack, which was the building where the miners would go in and change their clothes, you know, put their stuff, work clothes on, and go down into the mine. Well, I believe it was 1859, and I could be off a few years, but in that time frame, there was a fire down below, and these men were trapped thousands of feet below with a fire in this mine, which killed well over 35 or so of them, and they were burned to death. And some of them were found later with their heads, you know, trying to get oxygen in any little corner they could. And so these men were, really heroic. A lot of other men tried to get in there to get to them, but some got out alive and were terribly burned. They brought the bodies out and set them out, and it was just a big disaster, but there were lots of those sorts of accidents in and around Sierra Nevada, and in specifically in Virginia City. There's mines everywhere there. And I had the experience after we honored them. They gave us quite a show, and I saw a man, actually half of a man, come running out of the mine. I saw just the feet up to the bottom part of the torso come running out, and it was running like really fast. The legs were moving this ungodly speed, and it goes booking right around the miner's cabin and disappears in front of me. And I had somebody next to me, and I said, "Here's what I just saw. It did this, and it ran around the corner." And then 10 minutes later, two other investigators who didn't know about this came running up to me, and they had been in the same spot I had seen my apparition, and they described a big blue ball of light that they watched do the same thing. Now, this was at twilight. So, this was a pretty interesting thing. We had physical phenomena. We had EVPs up the yin yang. We had we saw an apparition floating through one of the buildings. Two of us, me and Vicky Clark, I think. Yeah, we saw where there no human being could possibly be, and this thing floated through a window, probably 250 feet from us. Stopped, looked at us, and then kept floating on. So it's a very haunted location, and if you want to go to a haunted place, Virginia City is your pick. So we're going to do that, and it's going to be good. It's just good to be back at it. But I also, do this thing called mediumship. So I know we've got these folks out here waiting. Generally, kind of my practice is, and this is just something that's just good. It's good mediumship hygiene. This house is clean, it's good mediumship hygiene to meditate before the work here. And sometimes I pick things up. Remember Hurricane Sandy? You know, when last year when we had that. Yeah, and it was like a few weeks before, and I kept getting the Sandy references, and it was all over the place. And then, well, tonight I was meditating, and I don't know who this belongs to, but I'm going to. This is a recent passing, and I really feel fairly recent, within 6 months. I have a young female, red hair, looks like it was a car accident. It's an impact passing, broken neck. Here's the weird part. What she shows me is her herself hitting the front dash, and her eyes are wide open, and that's how they find her. She looks alive, but she was dead, and they found her like that. And I don't know, and I'm getting, I'm trying to, you know, I've been resisting this name, and it just keeps happening to me. Last night, I started getting this spirit coming through, and it's either the state of Georgia, or it's, you know, her name is Georgia, or it's, or Georgie, or something like that. That's the sound of the name. It may be, that may be her name, or that may be who she's trying to talk with, or associated with somehow. But that's what I'm getting. And I don't know who this belongs to. So if you happen to hear this, and it does have meaning, I mean, that's about all I got out of it. And it was just basically, the message was, I'm okay. You know, let my family know I'm okay. You know, don't worry about me. And that was just, that just came through out of the blue. So sometimes they do that, and they make a big point of getting their message across, and I don't know where to deliver the message. So there we go.
So, John, do you think this was just a recent passing, or is this something that you've just recently experienced that may have happened a little while ago?
I think it's a recent passing within 6 months. I really do. I feel it could even be a matter of weeks. This was a very insistent connection. It just kept trying to come through. I'm a little bit rusty. I'm going to admit it. That you know, as a medium, it's, you know, you really need to practice regularly. I haven't been practicing regularly, and so I'm just going to have to trust what I'm getting, and throw it out there, and hope that it does mean something to somebody. So we've had that in the past, and sometimes you hear back about it later. And I can't tell you the number of times I've done this, and on Facebook we've had people come back and tell us, you know, oh yes, that was, you know, that had meaning for me, and here's what it meant to them. And so I hope it is connected to somebody's little girl that they're worried about, and, you know, here they are getting a validation. So she comes through for this, and we might even have one of the callers. So I am going to go ahead and pick up the calls. We're going to try to, let's see, we got, what do we do, 9:30, 11:30, yes. So we got about an hour and a half to do readings. There's a fair number of you out there, so I'll work through, and we'll just make it happen. The 916 caller I'm going to take first. 916 is right next to my area code here. You guys are in California, so we're going to go ahead and bring 916 in. And there's the magic thing. 916, you're on SoulStream. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hey, this is Diana. I'm in Sacramento.
Hi, Diana in Sacramento.
Hi. Is the EVP on tonight?
Yeah, we've got EVPs. I can set up for that, yeah. What did you want to do? You want to just do a one-minute question session and see what you get?
Sure.
Okay, let me see what we can do. And I have not worked this as quick. So tell me if you guys can hear this. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. I'm going to have to do a little bit of remembering how to do all of this. It's been months. Okay, here we go. I'm firing up Audacity. Going to get it ready. And let's see. Let me just record a test sequence and see if everything's good. Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hello, 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 hello. Okay, now we're going to do that. Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hello, hello. Okay, let me do a... let me turn that off and try to play it back and see if... Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, let me do an effect. Let me run amplification on that. It's going to be 21 dB gain. Good. Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. perfect. It looks like we are all set to go. Gosh darn, I wasn't even really thinking anybody would be doing this. All right, so I'll tell you what. We're going to turn on the this. I'm not sure I like that kind of a noise in the background, but, you know, sometimes I've gotten interesting things. And that's a fairly blank frequency. All right. So, Diana, we're going to go ahead and go for it. Now, you know the format for this. I'll turn it off. You know what the format is, right? We do a 1 minute recording, and we'll have you maybe do two questions, and you'll keep the questions short and succinct. So I'll do a 5-4-3-2-1 count. You'll go ahead and do your question and make it short and succinct, and then let it run for, you know, let it run until I say next, because I'll intervene and say next, and you'll do your second question, and then we'll cut it off roughly 1 minute, and then I'll run the analysis with everybody here listening in. So are you up for that?
Yeah, but I don't know what questions to ask.
Do you know who you're going to talk to? Or do you know who you want to hear from?
Yeah. Last time he came through, he's good at coming to the boxes.
Well, think of two questions that you'd really want just to find out. You know, you could ask him how he's doing. You could, you know, ask him, you know, where your lost car keys are. I mean, it's pretty much sky's the limit. So, but, you know, try to keep it to two short.
Oh, okay. I can ask him a medium question then, huh? All right.
You could ask all kinds of stuff. Yeah. So if you just did two, you know, keep them in the 10-second range each. And then that way I can just filter them and do everything we got to do here. And just go forward. So, you all set?
Sure. I don't know
okay,
if I
here
see
we go.
If I could.
Okay, I'm going to do turn on this. We're all set here. I'm going to do a 5 count and start the recording, and I'll tell you go. So, here we go. 5-4-3-2-1, go.
Hey, this is for Jeff McKinley. Where's the car? You know where the car is, when the car's coming, who's got the car, anything about the car. So I keep saying that. Do you hear me?
Hang on, I'm going to stop it because I can't filter on that. So what we're going to have to do is we'll start over. So ask the question and then stop right then. So I'm going to restart. And then so just say, who's got the car, and then cut off and then let it run the 20 seconds because I've got to be able to pull in their answers. Okay? So we're going to do it again. 5-4
Okay. Yeah.
Pardon me?
Me?
You're all set? You ready to go?
Yeah, I'm all set.
Okay, here we go. 5-4-3-2-1, go.
This is for Jeff McKinley. Where's the car? Do you know who has the car?
All right, next question.
Okay, this will be a funny one then. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, and where's the man? Does the man come with the cars? You know where the man is.
Okay, I'm going to stop it there. I've got, let's see if we can make something out of this. So what I'm going to do is, let me select everything. It's been a while since I've done this, so I remember. So we're going to run an amplification on all of it. And see, I'm going to do 2-1 go. And I don't think I had your stream running in there, which is actually kind of good. So even when your question was being answered, so your question won't be in there. But what I'm going to do is just I didn't have that pot turned on my board. But I'm going to go ahead and amplify those sections, and then we're just going to see if anything pops through. So what I'm going to do is run compression on the first question. And it's actually good that I didn't have your stream because there's three sections that were pretty blank. Yeah, here we go. I wish you guys could see this. I've got to get the camera set up so you guys can see how I work. Here we go. Third compression. All right, so the first set, I'm going to run through what we, I call it washing the noise out. We basically do, we randomly select a snippet of the noise and grab it, and then we basically apply that filtration on that, and it starts subtracting the raw noise, and we end up with voices. And you never know who's going to come through. So I'm going to go ahead and apply that. And I'm going to run an amplification. I got a... All right, let's see if this works. And I'm going to rerun noise removal one more time. Sometimes we have to do it two or three times per... actually, that's not looking half bad. I'm starting to get some modulation. So let me try this. Let me take it up. I'll take it up 6 dB. All right, let's see what this one sounds like. I'm going to do a snippet here. Okay, I'm getting a voice in there, and I can hear it. So your first question is, where's the car? Who's got my car? Is it your car?
Yeah.
And you don't know where your car is at?
This is a different car than the one I'm in.
Okay. All right. This is looking a little bit better. I've done some things here to bring that up a bit.
I don't see how
you're
going to
understand
that.
What's that?
I don't see how you can understand that, but go for it. I mean, he may answer it in a joke, you know. So be prepared.
Well, you never know. And you don't know if it's going to be him or you don't know if it's going to be, you know, one of your aunts, uncles. I mean, we don't know. You don't know
yeah,
what's going
Uncle
to come
Harry.
Through. But, yeah, it could
I
be
got,
anybody.
I got a feeling it's Uncle Harry.
All right. So what we're going to do is I'm going to record everything on paper here. Still remembering the whole routine. So we're going to start at 4 seconds and run up to about 7 seconds and see what we get. So I'm going to go ahead and select that and hope for the best and see what we get here. Here we go. All right. That sounds like a modulation there, but I'm not sure I can understand it. It almost sounds like it's saying your name at the start. You know, Diana, it almost sounds like a Diana, but I'm not going to put 100% on it. I'll put a question mark on that. And it's, the next sentence is something about talking to you. Talking to you. And I'm not... I'm more paraphrasing it because it's hard. This is really hard to understand. I mean, I'm seeing what look like vocal waveforms, but it's more like and it's definitely a male. It's whispering. I'm not going to get anything out of that. So 7.5 to 10, I'm just going to skip because I don't know what the heck's being said. And that may be also, we'll run through that because I think you were talking through about that section. And I'll have to change my procedure because I have not done this in forever. So I know where his answer would start. So let's say 10 to 13. What is that? What was that? Was that you?
What? Oh, yeah, I'm inside now. Now there's noise.
Okay.
I'll be back out in a minute.
Okay, I'm going to skip up to 13. And I'm just writing down skip. And this is where it starts to, I'm starting to see more vocal, what appear to be vocal responses. 13 to 16, let's try that. Was he kind of a, the person you were talking to, what was his name?
Jeff.
Was he kind of, did he kind of have a bit of a, did he kind of cuss a lot?
No, that would have been Uncle Harry.
Okay. Well,
or,
this guy's cuss, I'm... let me just isolate the part where I'm hearing what I believe to be. And was he kind of an angry man, Henry?
No, he was funny. He would have been joking, cussing.
Okay, so he would. He would play
angry people.
He would spoof you then. He would play with your head and just try to make you think, one thing and it was another.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay.
He wasn't over.
All right.
So, you
all right,
know.
Let me try 14 to 16 and a half here, and I think I'm going to just listen to it again here. Oh, boy, that just malfunctioned. Let me just export this and reload this because it just decided to give me a hard time. What is this going to be? Today's the 6/6/22/13. Diana. My player decided to mess up on me here. So let's just go ahead and do that, and I'll come back at it. And then we'll just reload it, and it should be fine. I've done this before where we've had this happen. No. And then we'll bring it back. And file open. Okay, that was Soulstream EVP captures. Okay, that's where that's at. Good. All right, so file open. I'm having to find where I put things.
Pardon me? Could be one of your closet ghosts.
I don't know. I'm not having one of those moments where it's proving to be a lot of... Okay, here. This looks pretty good. All right. That looks a little better. And view zoom normal. Okay, so that went out to, we were at 10 to 13, and now at 13 to 17. There's definitely a spirit voice. It's definitely male right there. Reverse EVP. Let me reverse it. I know I'm working my butt off on this, so you be patient, folks. We're gonna get it. I don't think that's it. I think it is the cussing. I'm just going to go back.
Cussing? I just don't get that.
I don't know about this. I just, it's a voice. It's definitely something there. It's almost like it's either saying effing behind you. So it's like somebody's there with you. Or the name Andrew, and I can't tell the difference between the two. He's not the best communicator. What's that?
Well, I do know an Andrew. He's a medium.
Did he pass?
Actually, no. Well, I don't know. I haven't spoken to Andrew in a long time. Is he passed? I can ask you that.
Well, I'm not. I'm well. It's one thing for me to do mediumship. It's another for me to do EVP, and it's one versus the other. You know, I'm just going on the technology right now. I mean, honestly, I don't think he's passed. I think he's talking about Andrew. It just my instinct tells me that.
Oh,
let's keep.
Maybe I need to get a hold of Andrew then, huh? He was my first medium.
Well, let me finish out and just see what we get here. 16.5 to 20, and let's just see what we get. It's a little better. Tell me about Jeff's passing.
Oh, he was taken out. he was a spiritual warrior, light worker, etheric warrior who found the Pinkerton men, you know, who the Pinkertons are. He found out who they were and told them he knew who they were. Well, guess what they do to you when you find out who they were? He was taken out.
I
think everybody knows by now.
He was murdered.
Yeah, he was murdered
okay.
by a shadow government.
Now, who found him?
They never found his body, but he has talked on a lot of spirit boxes and other, and Andrew was the first one who found him. The medium Andrew.
Okay.
And plus, I found him in a dream as soon as it happened. He just validated my dream.
Well, the voice says here, you should have found me. And it's talking like this, you should have found me. You should have found me. So, I believe it is Jeff. I think he's talking. Sometimes they're not going to answer the questions that you want them to answer.
Uh-huh.
They're going to come through with whatever they think you need to hear, and especially with this on-air EVP stuff, it's tough. Sometimes they will answer. Other times we've gotten things that just, okay, this is interesting. Let me go ahead and get the noise.
Well, we did. I mean, even, you know, Seers of the Soul, she's put it out there where he was. Andrew's put it out there for the media to know where he was. So basically we did find him. I went to look for him, and I was harassed by the Blackhawks, and there was no way I could continue.
Well,
so
basically his body's never been found, but you sort of know where he would be.
Yeah, we know what ocean he was in. We know
okay.
what boat he went out on and who he was with, yeah. We basically
okay.
know where they knocked him off, because they knocked off two people that I'm not supposed to be talking about. You might have to cancel this show now.
Well, I somehow think we'll survive it. I think we'll be fine.
Well, I mean, this is 2007, and I've never been that directly straight, but when you talk to the spirit box, he said who he was with and how they tricked him, why he went. So it is on other shows.
Okay, well, let's just go with what we're doing here, and we'll finish this out. Yeah, let me just see what we get here on this, this second one. There's a little bit of modulation here. From I'm just going to run it from 23 to 27 and see what we get. That's almost, let me just undo that part, and let's just see if a little white noise helps. I think that's your breathing that was coming through on the phone. And that's one thing when we do this work, we always want everybody to be real quiet right after they ask the question. So let me see what this last section is. No, that's your noise. That's your noise. I think of some of the breathing. Let me just see if this last filter, I can do a little filtration here. I really think that's about all we're going to get for that. You should have found me, but that's a pretty good one. I considering I haven't done this in quite a few months, I feel pretty good. Let me do a noise removal here. And let's
I know I was close. Yeah. That was probably sitting right over where I could have found something, but you know, when you're a woman alone and somebody just got killed and a bunch of black choppers are circling over you, you pretty much give up and go home. So,
yeah, I think I would. I think I would do the same thing if it was me. Let me go ahead and take this further. Wash it one more time, and then I think we'll do a speed analysis here. Because we've got a lot of other people out there waiting, but what we'll do is we'll give it the college try. There appears to be some final modulation. And what was the second question you asked? Just paraphrase it.
The man.
What's that?
Send me a new man. I
oh,
said,
boy.
Where's the man?
Oh, so that's what that was about. Okay, so here we go.
Yeah, you told one of the psychics if I would ask you formally to send me one.
You know, I don't think he's going to be the one sending you that. I think you just got to go and hit one down. You know, I'm not getting much out of this. Let me just take the last. I'm just going on the parts that look interesting, and he's really not. No. Wait a minute. That did sound like something. Let me just check it. What was your relationship with Jeff?
Well, we were together.
Okay. This is at 42 to 45 and a half seconds. And the only other thing I can see that he said is, he says, the reason I asked that question is because what I believe he's saying is, you love me. Or you loved me. It's hard to pick that up in there, but it's definitely a voice modulation, and it is a male speaking, and he's saying he's talking about love, and I think and it definitely the words you. So I think it's you loved me. So he's not so worried. I would say if he's having difficulty coming through in this particular form, two sentences that mean something. You should have found me, and you loved me, and you're talking about getting on with your life. I think he's fine with that. I, personally, just my instinct and just trying to read and do mediumship while I'm doing a technical thing, I really think that you should just go on, you know. Let me go ahead and do this. That was 42 to 48 and a half. Let me play this one more time. Yeah, I don't see any more. I think that was the only two we could get out of that. So we did our best, probably the best we could do of considering. But I really think that I really think that in as far as you going out there, I don't know who's got your car. I hope you do find it. But as far as what's happened with him, the one thing I think you could take away from it is he really, you know, he had feelings for you. You know,
oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, and still has them to this day, even on the other side. So,
oh yeah,
you know,
he's been with me ever since. I mean, for 2 years, he tried to get me to find him.
Yeah,
Andrew was the one who told me to stop because Andrew said they knew what I was doing, and Andrew, the medium, told me to quit looking for Jeff. That we already knew where he was, and yeah.
You know what? It's sort of pointless to go after it. You know, if you're still, you know, if he's disappeared like this, and but he's coming through and he's actually communicating with you, his physical body is you know more than gone, and you know that's not the item to worry about. It's you on this side that he seems to be concerned about. So, I mean, just the, you know, me picking up on Andrew, and then you should have found me, and you know you loved me. I think that just basically, if I can read into it. You know, where he's going with this is, you know, you should go and live your life, you know, and you can still talk to him. And it looks like, it sounds to me like you do. So mm-hmm. You should do that. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
Well, I hope that helped. Hey, you're welcome.
Oh, it sure did. Yeah, to hear that he could still come through boxes. I wish I had one of those old spirit boxes, though. The one they had on Dead Air, you could hear him real clear.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I have two of them, and I don't have it in the studio right now. But I'll tell you what, I'll bring one of them in and just have it sitting here ready to go. And those work really well, and I've had great luck with those on investigations. So yeah, I'll tell you what, we'll do that for the coming week. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want to call in again. All right.
Thank you for being
all right,
patient.
Diana. Okay. Thanks a lot. All right. Black helicopters. Have you ever been chased by black helicopters, Nancy?
No.
Yeah,
because
I haven't had that
too
happen
good.
To you.
I'm worthless. I know nothing special.
I'm in the.
I mean,
I've worked for years in the. Yeah, I mean, you know, I
black ops.
Yeah, I don't know. It very interesting reading. My first okay. Yeah.
I don't think I mean, provide anything interesting for anybody like that, you know. I really don't. So,
well,
you know.
I do think that there was meaning there because it was nice to get three sentences that seemed to tie the whole thing together. You should have found me. That was pretty clear to me. Debbie is asking what the mind lamp is. The mind lamp is a very beautiful yellow color right now. Kind of a cross between orange and yellow. And it's kind of fluctuating right now, so it's kind of going back and forth. I like it when we're doing readings and I have the mind lamp on. And I've got the webcam. I've got to set the web server back up and the port forwarders and stuff so that you guys will have a URL to get to. And see what it's doing. Right now it's turned perfectly orange. It's absolutely a beautiful orange. And when we talk about people who, you know, when a spirit comes through and we're doing mediumship work, we tend to get like reds. It just turned a perfect shade of red, just as I said that. Now it's pink.
Wow.
And it reds, and then we get pinks when there's love, you know. And sometimes it's with people who are living. So now it's a perfect shade of purple. And it's just kind of, now it's high spirit. So... okay, I love this. tell you what, we're going to go ahead and my brain is cooked right now. Let's. I think that's it tonight for EVP. I am not going to do any more EVP. We're just going to do some pure mediumship from this point on. So let's do 661 area code. I'm going to go ahead and bring them on.
Hi, John. It's Terry, right?
Hi, Terry. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you? Pretty
good. Getting back in the game here. So it's been a weird night. How is your night going?
Oh, it's been good. I haven't done nothing because I can't really move.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the last part of what you said there.
I said I haven't done much because I can't move.
You can't move? Why is that?
Oh, I tripped. and fell. And I guess when I fell, I injured my, he said the groin muscle or something. I don't know.
Where are you at right now? Are you in the Midwest?
No, I'm in Pennsylvania in my house.
You're Pennsylvania? Okay. Well, you know, I knew it was middle somewhere. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So you're Pennsylvania, and you can't move. So you're you can move. You're just moving with difficulty.
Yes.
Okay.
It hurts when I walk.
Well, hell, you know, my back's been going out, you know, between the two of us, you just get out here and you help me, I'll help you move and you help me move, and we'll just hobble around together, okay?
Okay. Sounds like
I'm actually doing better with that. Yeah, I'm doing better, actually, but, I've been out doing chainsaw work on the ranch here and all that kind of thing, and, oh, man, you know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I'm finding that out. Anyway, what brings you to my neck of the woods, my dear?
Well, I'm always here, but I wanted to know if you could get anything for my grandfather.
Okay, so, all right, you're looking for grandfather, and is that father's sign?
No, mom.
That's mom's sign? Okay.
Yeah.
Are both of the grandfathers passed?
Yes.
Okay. Because sometimes who you want isn't the person that comes through. There's a reason I kind of did that.
Yeah, I noticed.
Just kind of just concentrating on this because this one's... he's been passed... just getting back into this. It's going to take another 1 minute for me to kind of settle in on it. But this has been years he's been dead, correct? I mean, we're talking a significant time. Over 5 years?
The one died earlier. Both of them were over 5 years. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of my grandchild. See, he was here at my house.
He was there when he passed?
No, after he passed, he never crossed over. He was here at my house.
Oh, I see what you're saying. And that was your mother's father.
Yes, yes.
Okay. It's almost like the two of them are coming in together, and this is the part where I'm having difficulty because I mean, it's like the were they friendly in life? They knew each other. I mean, they were, it's like the two of them were hanging out together.
I don't know if they knew each other, but I would say that they probably did know each other.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is, I mean, it's one thing to have, you know, a family where, you know, there's one side and then the other, and you know, the grandparents sometimes don't mingle. And I get the feeling
mm-hmm.
that they didn't, you know, there was, you know, they were like buddy kind of, there was a friendship there. You know, they were nice with one another. And that's kind of the thing I get here. I am having trouble assigning which of these two happened to, but I'm going to just throw my hat in the ring and say that grandfather on mom's side has sudden passing, and I'm feeling, I'm not sure if it's heart attack or what, but I just feel sudden passing. Was his passing sudden, unexpected?
Well, they put him in the nursing home because they said he didn't have much time.
Right.
But they insisted he had cancer.
Okay.
He had cancer and died.
So was his passing, you know, so was it was an expected thing?
Yeah, they said it was. No, my other pap was sick for a long time, and then he passed.
Were they not, I mean, of the two, I mean, because what I'm getting for one of these two is mm-hmm. that this was an unexpected passing. I mean, you know, for them, I don't think that they were quite ready. I mean, I'm trying to get a lock on this, the way that they're showing
me. I'm going to tell you that was my mom's father. because he was here. He never crossed over, and he was really angry. And I don't know why he's
okay.
angry.
Okay, so really what it is it's not so much that, you know, he just didn't want to go, and he wasn't ready. He really wasn't ready. He just did not want to leave. Now, was he... In his work life, in the profession, was he kind of a hands on person? I feel like he I'm feeling like he built things or something. Was he trades? Was he a tradesman? Worked in the trades, or
yeah.
did he do some kind of
yeah.
trades, that kind of work? What was that?
Laid blocks.
He laid blocks.
And, yeah, he taught me.
Okay.
That.
And.
He did lots of carpentry work.
Was he known for his smoking?
Yes.
Smoke?
He rolled his
okay.
own, yes.
Well, so, yeah, because I was thinking cigars. I mean, I was sitting there going, he did something unique with the, and I was just, you took the words out of my mouth because I was going, he did something unique. It was like not normal for the type of smoking he did.
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, were these like, did they look really big? I mean, when he rolled these things, were they oversized or something?
Well, yeah, they seemed fat. I remember my aunt
yeah.
used to sit there and say, "Well, Pappy, if you could just roll, teach me how to roll that tight that it doesn't come out, I'd be real happy." And he just ear analysis.
There's another thing that's coming through with this is, was the smell of this unique in some way? Was there a particular brand? Because I mean, I'm feeling like there was a trademark smell with him, in life. I mean, there's some odor that's associated with this. It wasn't just normal tobacco.
He used, I think, pipe tobacco.
Okay, so it was pipe tobacco. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so, and it really stunk up the place, then. I mean, there was definitely a smell. I mean, did he get kind of run out of the house when he was doing this?
No, he was the one that ruled the roost, but my grandmother
okay.
would yell at him.
Okay, he's made his presence known, then. So I'm on to him.
Okay.
Now, did she survived him, correct?
No. My she other did? Grandmother did. My other grandfather, yeah. Both grandfathers smoked.
So grandmother on mom's side passed before he did?
Yes.
Was there... how many years... Because this is the part I'm not getting. How many years between the point where... you know, grandmother on mom's side passes before your grandfather passed. I mean, was it in a fairly short time?
I'm not sure. I know grandma passed at home, and I think she died in 89.
And he died in
when? 2007, I think.
Was there a potential that he had a relationship with a lady after? Because I feel like there's female presences with him, you know,
well,
in life before he passes.
Yeah. I don't know. My husband went and spent more time with him than I did because he was a grouchy old man. But he loved crime. And,
well,
but, you know, when his mom came up here one day for lunch or for Easter dinner or something, and Brian said, "Hey, Mom, what do you think? You want to date him?" I said, "You cannot fix her up with my cap. I'm not
okay.
going to help you." So he could
all
have
right.
somebody else.
So there was some thought about doing a fix up, you know, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Now, the question is, I feel like just my instinct, just the way he's presenting, is he had eyes on in a number of cases, he had eyes on different women after he got over the shock of the death of his first, you know, of his wife. So I feel like that there was some wanting for companionship. So, I mean, that, and that kind of confirms, you know, because there was, people were concerned about him being alone. And so there was sort of, the family was looking at this, and I feel like he had the same thing going on. Now, I think he's more than established himself, that he's, you know, he's here wanting to communicate with you, and you've wanted to talk to him. What is your question for him? And I'll see what comes through.
I want to know if he's mad and stayed behind because of the will. If the wrong will used.
It's funny because I'm going through this very thing right now with estate planning in my own life right now, and I know how I feel with it. I've got to separate my feelings with all this from this. But the overall impression I get from him is there's no anger at this. Was there closeness with you in particular from him? Because I feel like there's a... Was there true closeness? I mean, you really loved him?
Oh, I loved him, but, you know, they didn't really show love. And he, we lived with them for a long time after my mom got divorced.
In your heart of hearts, what I'm asking you is, did you love him and you held him in very high, in a very high place in your heart, correct?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, well, part of me is that... you know, I know the thing with the will, I'm, you know, just, yeah, I mean, you kind of gave it away a little bit because obviously there was some sort of a problem in the will, and the family seems to have gone through some kind of a catharsis over this, correct?
Yeah.
Things are different for him on the other side. Okay, I'm just going to paraphrase it as I'm getting it. Things are different for him on the other side. He's not the same as he was when this, you know, since he's passed. He's not so worried, and the fact is he has crossed. He's just coming back in spirit to be around and provide support. So he's not like he's just stuck. That's not where that's at. He's more worried about the family getting over this and getting on with life because this is... he's calling up a memory from my own family. My my grandfather McHenry was a founding agent in the FBI, and they call him a grandfather agent. And he was very famous. He had very famous cases. And when he started to die, he died under really intense hospital care because he had a particularly virulent form of cancer, and. He was not known for not speaking his mind, and I have a feeling that this is how this gentleman is. He said what he said. He said it like he meant it. I don't know who it is in your family that's the. I feel if I had to put my money on it, I feel it's a female presence that's behind some of this, quite a bit of this, whatever this thing is, with the will. But he's basically, he's paraphrasing my great-grandfather's last words, or near to the last words. My great-grandfather, my mother walked in to see him very near to the end of his life. And one of my aunts was in the room, and she was pitching a fit and crying. And finally, they shoot her out of there, and my mother was standing there looking at him, and she had a really good relationship with him. And he pulls his oxygen mask off and looks at her and says, "Once a clabber ass, always a clabber ass." And that's the kind of feeling I have with this guy. And he has not lost his edge. That's kind of the sense I have of him. But what he's disappointed in is that this has not been resolved. And I don't, you know, I get the feeling, is the legal aspect of it resolved, but the emotional part's not?
Okay.
Is that where this is at right now?
I just have a feeling because, like, he had this book that he wrote down everything in. If people borrowed money off, he had 16 kids. If people borrowed money off of him, he would write it down.
Right.
And Brian touched it, read it, you know, saw everybody's name in it. But, like, he died, and boom, the book disappeared.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, is that bothering him? That he was here?
That's, you know, let's put it this way. This sort of stuff kind of happens all the time in, you know, when people pass. And the problem is that when they, you know, whoever did that has to account for that when they make their crossing. And that's something, mm-hmm. It's funny, we point that out. We've had a number of deaths in our family recently, including my grandfather on my mom's side. And when he passed, certain spiritual justices were set in motion. And that's kind of the sense I have of it in this case. He's not so concerned about that. He's concerned about is people just letting it go, because that karma is going to deal with that. That's between God and the person or persons who did this. What needs to happen is to just let it go and move on, because you can't do anything about it. And so the legal aspect of this, you know, because that's what I sense, the legal aspect of this is no longer solvable, because there's no book, it's been done with for a while. But what's been left behind is the residue of the anger, and everybody's upset about it, and they're carrying these torches, and there's really no, you know, there's no point. The person or persons who did this are going to have to deal with it when they get to the other side. That's how we dealt with it when certain things in the estates, you know, of our family members were, let's just say there were abnormalities. And we made the conscious decision early on, because we've seen this before, not to carry that, you know, and let that color our lives. That's up to the person who did the crime. And that's kind of where he's coming from. I think the reason he's around you is, do you have multiple children?
Yes.
Is it boy, girl?
No.
Okay, so what do you got? You have two boys?
Yes.
And what are their ages right now? Are they like in the, you know, before teen? I mean, are they teenager?
Yeah.
Teenager?
Yeah. One's 22, one's 29.
Okay, so they've grown up.
Yeah.
And he died back in 2001?
That sounds familiar, but I was saying 2007, but I don't know for sure.
Okay, so you weren't around this when all this
I went to the hospital. My mom called me and said that you need to come down and see your grandfather.
Okay,
because,
so roughly in the 2007 time frame, he passes and you were there. And the boys are older. Now, do the boys have families?
My one does.
Okay, so he has children and you're a grandmother.
Yes. No, I'm a nana.
Okay. I think just part of it, I think part of this, honestly, I feel like he's just around because he's just enjoying what's going on with the family. I don't see any, I mean, I'm not sensing anything that's overriding, you know, that he's having a problem. I feel like that you're sensitive enough to know that he's around. I mean, have you had, obviously had some kind of connection to where you've sensed him around or had evidence that he is there?
Yeah, somebody told me that they took him out, told him to leave. He was angry when he was here and told him to leave. And he said, but he could stay because he was family.
Yeah, I don't think it's that kind of a thing. I think the anger component, sense of it, the mind lamp just turned a perfect shade of pink. And, you know, it's just, he's staying out of love. So I really don't think that, it's what people are saying. I think that he didn't want to go, that's for sure. He did not really enjoy the whole process of going. But once he's been over there and he's had time to integrate, he's made it a point to come back and hang out. And this happened to my father. When my dad passed, my father came around and hung around a long time. And he still makes his appearance now and then, but he's here less and less. And, you know, we occasionally get the little knock on the wall. We get little things that let us know he's around. I don't know that he's done anything physical for you, in your grandfather's case, but I mean, do you sense the presence of him? I mean, because I keep getting the feeling that he's around and you do pick up on it.
I mean, I could think of him. Maybe that's when I think of him, you know, and not consciously being aware of what I'm doing. And maybe that's because he's here. But, like, my house is like a traffic for ghosts.
Do you... Oh, so you have spiritual activity in the home.
Oh, yeah. I lay in bed one night and a black figure walked by my bed back into my bathroom. I got up and went up to my craft room and figured that was it. I was done.
Do you think... was that after his passing?
Yeah, this was just a couple weeks ago.
What was your initial emotional response to that? Because that's important. Did you feel threatened by it, or were you more curious?
I was curious and wanted to know why they just went and showed themselves to me instead of being a black shadow. And I thought, well, I'm not waiting for them to come out of the bathroom. They just went in the bathroom and like stayed there or something. So I just went upstairs because they said I wasn't waiting for them to come back.
Well, I'll tell you what. Sometimes, yeah, it's funny because we will go through periods here at my place where we'll have spirits that will walk through the home. And we're on a haunted ranch, I mean, so there's a lot, you know, we have real similarities to what you go through. And there are times when we will see a shadow go by, and it may be a family member in visitation, and they just don't have the energy to come through fully and appear in full color. But we'll catch the shadow, the shape of the person. And they'll make their appearance and move on. And they always seem to be around the corner, side of the eye, or they'll just look right by you and you're looking right at it and it goes by and it goes around the corner and you run out there and there's nobody there. And that's just how the nature of the beast. And I still scratch my head after all these years of being around this. I still scratch my head and try to figure this out. Why do they do that? Why are they so freaking maddening that they have to run around a freaking corner? Just stand there. It could be that simple. Come on. You know, but evidently the rules are such that they can't just do that. And so I have to accept that. But what I get the feeling of is I do believe family member, if not grandfather, family member in that particular case, but you have multiple spirits going through. So I don't know that all – do you know the history of the home?
Yeah, we built it.
You built it?
But it was haunted when he was building it.
Okay, so something about the land,
I think it's
then,
the
huh?
Ground. Yeah, it's the ground.
Yeah. Did you ever research it?
We tried, but the farthest we could get back was my stepfather, because we bought it off my stepfather's father. We got back to his father, or his uncle.
You might want. Let's put it this way. Just kind of a side twist to this whole thing with your grandfather. And there may be some other reasons he's around because, I mean, I'm not getting much more from him. But what I just get the sense of is that it wouldn't hurt for you to go look at the county and historical records and hit the historical societies and find out what's going on. You're in
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, you're in Pennsylvania, but what I'm trying to get the part, is there Civil War areas right around you?
Yeah, George Washington walked up,
I think it's going to be either a combination or one of these things. It's going to be Native American, or you're going to be dealing with, you know, one of these war periods in the United States. And the thing is, I feel like I just feel battle, people shooting each other, emotional high energy. I don't think that these are residual haunts. I think it's intelligent. So I think that some of these things are around, And some of it is not all the way human. There may be some things that are out there that are tied to this, but I don't know that they're all bad. You know, it would be worthwhile your time to look at that, okay? But if you're not feeling particularly threatened, I feel like some of it is family coming in. So I do think grandfather energy, and I think that there's other family members who have passed through period may come in visitation. And the fact that you can see them gives you've got some ability, you know, so you're sensitive to these things. Take note of that and keep a little journal, you know. So, but I hope that answered your question, my dear.
Yeah, you did, because I was just worried that he was angry and not happy.
No,
he's happy.
What I keep getting is, just as you said, that mind lamp turned perfect purple, and he's just making it very clear to me. You know, and purple is high spirit. He's very much more in a better place with us. There's no time for that on the other side. Physical things mean nothing. They really don't. What they worry about is our development here. They worry about us. They're not worried about things. Okay?
Well, I said he should go visit my mother.
What's that?
I said he should go visit my mother.
Is she passed?
No.
Why did you say that? Because that's part I'm not sure here.
It's a daughter. I think you should go visit her.
Okay. Oh, I see. You're trying to get him to go see her. Was there a division there?
No, she took care of him.
Okay, so there was closeness there.
The bills and money and stuff like that. She was the executor of his will.
And so she was pretty good with that whole thing.
I guess.
Okay. Well,
when you have many kids, they all fought.
Yeah. If I had to get an emotion out of him about the whole thing, exasperation and impatience and just wishing it was done with, you know, the emotional part of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just sounds to me, just before we close out, it sounds to me like, this is still a raw spot with everybody, you know, even after this number of years, and people are just still kind of about it, you know, and it just doesn't serve any purpose. You know, we forgave the people a long time ago that did some of the things they did to us. And we just rest in the knowledge that they're going to be called to account, and it's not going to be us doing it. It's between them and God, and they got to explain themselves. So, hey, you know,
as long as
he's
happy and not angry, that's good.
He's not angry. Yeah. No. No. More worried about everybody getting along and basically his message is life is short. You know, get on with it. So, rather to the point. Okay.
Uh huh.
Okay. All right, my dear. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
May I
stay on hold? Oh, sure.
Yeah, I'll go.
I'll
just go. Yeah, I'll put you on hold. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That was a nice reading. I like that.
Hey, John.
We've got, I see your message there, my dear. We've got, I've got a 928, and I don't see a 928. I've got a 918. I got, I just did the 918.
Breath of Terra. Are you still there?
If Breath of Terror is still there.
She's telling
me her
area 928 is what she told me.
I don't have a 928 here. I mean, I've got a 918 with a 914 prefix. So if that's the one, it was next on the list with the hands up. So it's a Skype. Was it Teresa?
Yeah, it's a Teresa. It's a Skype call.
Okay, so it's Teresa's. I'll just say Teresa 6. Would that be it?
Teresa
6,
I'm asking
it.
Her. Okay.
Okay, I'll take this one next, but you kind of jumped in. It jumped you in out of order, but I'll take you and we'll just go forward. So here we go. Teresa, are you there with me?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Teresa.
Yay.
Hi, I'm so glad you're back on the air, John.
They kidnapped me. The aliens got to me. That's what happened.
I know, me too. I don't think I've had a radio show, maybe one or two in the last 3 months. It just wasn't right.
Well, I appreciate you caring about you know, what's going on here.
Yeah, I do.
It's good to... Well, what can I do for you, my friend?
Well, you know, we're all growing all the time in our spiritual relationship with our ancestors and the ancient and the angels and all of that stuff. And sometimes stuff just keeps coming around and coming around and coming around.
Oh, God.
And every time I ask my family about this, they're like, no, 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 no. You don't want to know. No, no, you're better off not knowing. And it concerns my biological father.
Oh,
and
boy.
supposedly, according to my family, he did something very illegal to me when I was like 3 days or 3 months old. Some of my family says 3 days old. The other part of them says 3 months old. And so, you know, this was in the 50s. You know, they put him in prison.
Oh, and, my God.
Yeah, and then he broke out of prison with some other people, and supposedly they committed this huge crime, and, you know, he was basically shot. They told me in the back of the head by an FBI agent. And
oh, boy.
Yeah, so, like, I'm real little. I'm like, you know, I'm just like a puppy at this stage, just, you know, learning to waddle around the room. I'm just like, you know, my eyes is the only thing I remember, his eyes. That's the only thing I remember.
Yeah.
So I tried and tried, and except I have never used this approach. I tried to use this approach on my own ways and means a long time ago, but, you know, I wasn't close to God at all. I was, like, real far from him and real mad at him, you know, and I decided I was going to get answers. And you know, basically all I did was have nightmares for about 3 months, and so I just left it alone. But I want to know, did he really do that to me? And is it true what my family says?
You've never looked at any of the criminal records or anything like that, correct?
They're sealed.
Wow. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Because this crime goes from 1, 2, 3, 4 states. It was a 4 state.
And there was
trail.
No trail. You've never. Before I answer, there was no. Reporting of this crime, obviously this was big enough with a breakout that there would have been news
well,
stories.
Was, there was some stuff on the news about the breakout, San Quentin breakout in the 60s.
Okay, so this is a fairly famous incident then.
Mm-hmm. And it involved a I don't want to say too much.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of uncomfortable. But I know it's no bearing on me. I'm not him, you know, but... his name was Tom.
Okay.
Thomas.
So, it's funny you were saying that, because I was just writing down a name, and it's not Tom, but...
Kenneth?
And I didn't... there's a person who figures in this by the name of James, and I'm trying to make sense of. I don't know if this is one of the others that was with him or what, or the person who shot him.
Okay.
So I don't know what the you know, but they're saying the name James and or Jimmy. I almost feel like that's maybe the person who has the information.
I don't know anybody named that. Nobody in family or anything.
It's not family. I can tell you that for sure. That's not a family member. This is somebody who either was in prison with him or, you know, or was a law enforcement person that you could find and track down. But I know the name Jimmy. I'm going to stick to my guns on this. This guy knows something. and he's still alive.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But with regard to the family being so secretive about this, and you're a grown woman, and I'm just surprised that they are so adamant that they're going to protect you from this information, which you so obviously want to know.
Yeah.
I'm surprised at that. Have they ever told you why they would never do that? I mean, I'm sorry to impressing this before I go into the answer, but it's just,
well,
it's very disturbing. It's like
in the 80s, right after I got out of the military at Kaneohe Marine Corps Air Station in Kailua, Hawaii, for a couple of years over there, and I started to try to contact, like, his mom, and I can't remember her name. I think it was Anna or something, but she was real, real sick, and she just told me, she said, you know, honey, sometimes there's just bad seeds born. You really don't want to know what happened. You'll be happier if you don't. And so that's that whole mindset from that era of people that were rearing children in young adults in that day and age. And it's like, I don't know why they were so secretive about it and why they're still being that way, those few that are left that are not over on the other side. So, I would like to know.
The answer is, I feel he did that, you know,
okay.
And just the sense of it, and I'm not connected directly to him. This is coming more from my guides than any spirits that were.
I never get anybody, I can never get anybody to directly contact with him. He's very, I don't know, he's in the heaven jail still or something, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm getting absolutely nothing stepping forward with him. It's just this is much more like a question, coming, you know, that my guides are just saying, yes, this did happen. You were a very young infant when this happened, and I don't think you may not have, I feel like that some of the reasoning behind this is because the violation was very severe.
Yes, it was. Yes.
And I feel that were. Did they ever tell you that you had surgery from this?
No, they just said I was in hospital for a long time.
Yeah, you had surgery. They had to do things to fix you. And that's sort of the, did they ever tell you any specifics about the nature of the injuries? And what he did to you?
The only thing my mom said out of frustration one time when I was pressing her after I'd gotten out of the service, I had called her, she just said, you know, he's a no good bastard, Terry. Just leave it alone. He threw you against the wall. He tried to kill you.
Yeah, that's the part because I was picking up beating and I didn't know.
Okay.
So he threw you against the wall, but there was also, you know.
There was more.
There's more to it. You were, if I had to see what set him off, I think you were, crying or something and it just tipped him off and he was already. Kind of out of his mind.
Yeah, he thought he was James Dean, evidently. So,
What's that?
I said he thought he was James Dean, evidently.
Yeah, I've dealt with a person like this in the past. I've had dealings with an individual with this sort of temperament, and the slightest thing would set them off, and it was a pathological personality, pathological. And my grandfather dealt with these kinds of people. My grandfather was the chief neurosurgeon chief medical doctor at DeWitt Mental Hospital over in Auburn, here in Northern California. He dealt with the criminally insane, and he testified a lot in his later years before he passed away in the 60s. He testified about a lot of these kinds of people, and they're not right in the head.
They're not nice on the other side either.
They're devoid of a soul in a lot of ways. They're very low
frequency.
Soul energy. And he's not, that's why I'm just not picking him up, because it's funny because, I mean, it's not that he's in some form of hell. He's had to face what he's done to you.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like the there's just such work that he has to do that he's just not in a place to come out and talk, you know, even after all this time. Was the nature of his death, the passing, did they try to, you know, I don't know that. I mean, I've got a faint glimmer of a memory about some breakouts from that time, because I remember there was news about these things, but I don't remember specifics.
Remember McDonald's massacre in San Diego?
Yeah.
And all the kids and school teachers in Kansas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was him?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And so...
So consequently, it's a little hard for me to have a relationship past a certain point. And I've noticed that about myself. And I'm not by any means playing victim, but I am a little different. I have a real hard time with whatever happened. I've gone, for my own personal growth, I've gone through all the past life regression was successful. But there's this thing from 3 days old to 2.5 years old. And I remember what happened when I was 2.5. Because it was the first time I ever saw a German Shepherd dog. It was a police dog. And it found me in a steamer trunk.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
You would just,
so this is not a nice person. And sometimes I wonder if the reason why it's so easy to help, for me to help dark souls, is because of this? Was this really a blessing in disguise? You know?
Yeah.
And I've heard a lot, like you said, like sometimes once they get on the other side and they do the work, you know, they are sorry, and they do make it known that, you know, you're not a POS and you are a good girl or a good guy, and they do love you. But I get nothing. And you know, with the way the energies are right now and with the veil being so thin, it's difficult in this arena.
I've been just paying attention to try to see if he's going to come through, and there's nothing. And there's not even any other family members coming through. This is like a black hole. I mean, it's just, there's
nothing
there.
I know, it's like
there.
They just totally disowned me. It was like, you know, there was that segment of the family who said, well, you know, it's your fault. It's your fault.
There, this much I can say. There's absolutely none of your existence as a person and as a soul is not the root cause of this. You are a victim of this. What I do know is this, and I'll just paraphrase what I'm getting as I'm getting it. And the mind lamp turned perfect green. So it's very truthful. What they're saying is that you came into this, your soul contract was such that you came into this because you're right. There is a blessing in the fact that you've taken this and tried to make lemonade out of lemons. Okay.
Oh,
and
I certainly
actually,
yeah.
Yeah. You've made this work. Don't give up on the fact that, you know, about having a relationship past a certain point. Just, you know, this stuff colors your life forever and there's no getting away from that. But what they're saying is don't keep putting that in to the mix. Let it go. It's part of your life. It's going to come up. There's going to be times when, you know, you have to face that these things happen. But it's defined you up till now, but now's the time to let it go and just go on with the good things that you're dealing with. And that's the message that I'm getting directly from my guides, from your guides. That part's done with. The whole question of going to the family with all this information, you know, trying to get things out of them, it's a dead horse. You're not going to get anything. It's
no.
Dead. You're done with that. What I will say is this James character, I feel like this person or through an intermediary is going to make their presence known to you in some way, and this is within 5 years, there will be information given to you that will further illuminate this that I'm not picking up. But what they're telling me is there are people who know the truth. You have to let go, and when you let go and the time is right, this information will come to you. So you just let that go. I really feel like there's going to be some revelations here. But you've got things to do and things to build, and obviously you're in a spiritual, you know, bent. You've got a spiritual career that you're doing things and helping people with this kind of stuff. You know, you've taken it the next step. So, you're doing fine. You know, the curiosity about our origins, I've never had that problem, and I don't, you know, so I can't be in your shoes. I don't know, you know,
and I'm just
stepping into my own human self and looking at it from my own little limited perspective. You know, I mean, I've overcome, disease and different things that have happened to me. And I've dealt with some things that were real challenges, but what you went through, I can't even imagine, and continue to go through. There's a point at which you can look at a situation like my mother went through something vaguely similar. I'll just say that.
Mm-hmm.
And finally had to make the determination that she had to just let go and go on and not look back. And that's sort of the basic message I'm getting from the collection of guides who are coming through for you. It's serving no purpose at this point. It's pointed you, you're already well down the path you need to be, and you're a beautiful soul. You're a beautiful person. It has nothing to do with, these people in the family who are trying to impugn your existence as causing these problems. They're not worth the toilet paper, that's on the wall.
Right.
Don't pay attention to that. Divorce them.
I knew that I was supposed to do that, and I knew and that the words that you said about just turn your back and walk away and just keep going on with your life, I knew I was supposed to do that. But I wanted to ask you, because I trust you and your ability to read and whatnot, and it's taken me quite a long time to find someone that where I would just ask out blatantly and openly, you know, kind of selfishly, like maybe somebody that knows something is listening, you know, and I don't mean somebody that's psychic. I mean somebody that knows something, you know, and if it's to be, then it's to be. And if it's not, it's not. But, you know, there were seven or eight other times where I was listening in on your show and you were doing readings and I just didn't call in. I just, you know, and I kicked myself in the butt every time. I was like, dang, I should have asked so I could just move on with this. You know,
it's.
I kind of like that.
And thank you for being a regular listener, you know, and being patient with me as I've been going through my own stuff, you know, because, you know, real life is kind of nasty, icky,
weird,
and dirty. And, you know, I mean, I look at, you know, I've been a computer career and everything is clean and, you know, programs are supposed to execute. It don't work that way. Everything's messy, ugly, dirty. And that's how spiritual life is.
There, it's like, oh, the damn computer.
Yeah. Well, it's that way. It's that way with our spiritual lives. And if, you know, and people could walk around quite a bit. I mean, I see this a lot where they're saying, if only. And the trouble is, if only is, you know, it's already done. You know, it's a done deal. So, you know, in your case, I mean, I just think that you're, you've got some amazing things ahead of you, and you really got your, I'm going to say this, you've got your in one sack, you know what I mean?
Thank
and
you.
You don't have to, yeah, you don't have to worry about what other people are thinking. What you have to worry about is you've developed internal strength that I think is uncommon. And I think that you can lean on that, and that's going to get you through things that you wouldn't believe you could get through. So more power to you, you know. I really believe that with you. So, yeah.
Sounds like the way I've lived my life.
Are you mediumistic? I mean, what?
I have been for a long time. Yes, definitely.
Okay.
There was a period of about 10 years where I hardly ever talked to another soul unless they were there for a reading. And that was by my choice. I chose to to get to know the other side. After the last time that I physically died and came back, I spent the next 10 years, you know, in Bible college and things like that, in healing my body and just fellowshipping with the other side as much as I could.
Yeah, I will say this. There are some traces in your body. Have you ever had, like, full body scans and, you know, they really looked you over in depth from a physical perspective? There's, you know, just a little extra information here.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I would, the next time you go
I did have, full body scan after... they cleared me at the Veterans Hospital and told me that the cancer was gone. They said that, you know, the clinician, the guy that's running the MRI thing, he says, you know, are you wearing any metal? And I said, no, I'm not wearing any metal. And he said, well, this test isn't turning out, and I'm going to have to let you go back to your room, and I'm going to have to talk to your doctor.
Yeah,
and I knew exactly what they were talking about, and I know exactly what it is. And, you know, I let them tell me this time. You know,
yeah,
I had to kind
of sort of
make them block.
So you've got screws, and you've got some things in you that were part of the reconstruction.
I think so, yeah.
That's sort of the sense of it I had. I mean, because there's evidence, there's trace evidence left behind of the injuries and the nature of them. I think that you could... You didn't get into specifics of what they were finding.
No, but I've had it looked at by medical people that are, they're licensed, but they kind of serve a greater good than the medical world.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, they should have told ya. And then, of course, I have two implants. The other ones I had.
Well, I'll tell you what. Stay on the line here a sec, because I'm just going to say to everybody, we've got a couple of minutes left here, and I'm going to see who's still got their hand up. We got a couple of people out there waiting for readings, and I will go into overtime. We have a 1 hour over for the archive, so if you want to stay on, I will read you, okay? So, But in your case, what I'm saying is you may want to do a more formal look at this, okay, and look at the nature of the injuries. So, I mean, I don't know how far they went with you, the people that you talked to, but take a look at, you know, gather the results and really get a formal look at it and explain the situation to whoever you deal with from a medical perspective and get a look at this. Because I think there's more to be found. I don't think it's quite over with the stuff you think you know. I think there's more to it, and I think it's in the data is going to tell a lot more. So that's going to be probably about as far as you're going to get illumination, okay? But on your own. And you need to know that, because from a medical perspective, the rest of your life is ahead of you. You need to know this information, so you need to pursue it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, my dear. Do you want to stay on hold and listen in as we do the rest of the readings here?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So we'll just put you on hold, and it was an honor reading you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and are you on air with Blog Talk or another show or?
Yeah, I'm on Blog Talk, Breath of Terror Radio on Blog Talk, and I guess I'll officially invite you to be a guest on my show. Well, we have some of your people here.
Oh, you're inviting me as a guest?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
I'll do it. Sure.
All right, cool.
I'd have a ball. Let's do it. Okay.
Okay.
All right, my dear. We've got 45 seconds, so I'll put you on hold. 45
all right,
seconds
great.
On the stream. Let's see. I'm going to Debbie's from there, make it laugh. We've got Breath of Terra, Castle 407, Debbie Wells out there, my dear friend, Gerber Daisy TM. Oh, Gerber, you're here. Oh, we love you. Nancy Mum is here. Hey, you're my co-host, and I'm doing your job. I'm sorry. And we got Walk with Spirit. I forgot you're here.
That's okay.
Dang. I love you.
I am.
I read the back come being very quiet for a change.
I love you too. See you, everybody.
And
I'm just rolling into stream. We are we're going into overtime. Excuse me. And I've got one more. Actually, we have only one more with their hand up. 757 area code. We are here past the cookies, is what Debbie Wells says. Hello, Debbie Wells. past the cookies.
And take a sip of the cookie.
Spock, Bones, go to the replicator. Get me some cookies. I must have cookies. I love it. Fire phasers, give me the cookies. I need more. I need chocolate cookies. Sorry, I've got. It's a weird night, and my first show in a while. I'm supposed to do that march. Okay. Boom. All right. So 757. You're on Soulstream. There we go. Yes, you're on Soulstream now. Soulstream. You're on Soulstream. We're going to do the Halloween show early. All right. You're on Soulstream. Ah! What's your name and where are you from?
This is Tony.
This is Tony. Hell, I know that voice. That's Kathy Bradshaw. Out there in the wilds of Virginia. She's out there in Mayberry.
Hello, Nancy. Hello, Debbie. Hello, John.
Hi, how are you?
I did want to say something, John. Fantastic show. And I love that one with Chris the other night, too. But I wanted to say that they're making very adamant. You, how did they put it? You, oh, God. Help me out here, guys. You overtook yourself, or what is it they say?
You overcame?
No, where you overfed yourself. With when you said the name James and then you turned it to Jimmy, they said leave that alone. I don't usually get names, but when you were talking about that, they told me James is the last name.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that could be very well.
Oh, I know what it was. You stepped in your own mess, in your own way.
I mean, well, you know, hell, I'm a bit rusty. Hell, you got to give me a break there, girl.
Well, even rusty is great.
Yeah, I'm just kind of figuring out I was so worried about it. I mean, what's funny is when I'm away from things for a while and I come back, and today I was sweating it. I was talking to my guys going, come on, guys, you know, turn the third eye on. I need the stuff to work, you know, and the whole day they're going, will you please relax? That's kind of what they were doing. And at about 6 o'clock, all of a sudden I snapped on and they went, we're ready for you. Will you please relax? And I went, okay, I get it. I've done this enough times. And they're going, you should know better. And so that's where they're at. And
You're the great one with the names and everything. Not me. I do not deal with names. So when that name popped up and they said they called it something else, but I take it as he's controlling the situation, not letting them do it. So, you know, he's stepping into his own mess or something. So they were saying, tell him it's James, and James is the last name. And I'm like, okay.
Okay. Well, she's still listening, I'm sure. And, you know, the thing is that I feel it's like if I had to put my money on it, there's an official capacity here. It's like somebody that was in the law or, you know, had, you know, in a legal sense or a police sense, knows a lot more, and this is a case that sticks with people, you know, and I think that that's kind of where this person is. I feel it's like it's a good person, and I think it's tugging at their heart.
Law enforcement.
Yeah. I think police, and I think it's like this person really felt it wasn't fair and is waiting for the right time to come forward, and I feel like it's near the end of their life. You know, where they're looking at it, where they could say something without it coming back on them because it's the end of their life and, you know, nobody's going to, what are they going to do to them, you know? And that's sort of the sense I have with it. So
that's the feeling I got too. I also feel that there's a son. It's like a father son. The son knows what the father did, you know, as far as in the law enforcement. And he's in law enforcement too. The son is.
Yeah. It's a very sticky, messy thing. And
it is, yeah.
When I tried to throw my senses at it, I was just getting black hole, ugly, big mess, and no spirit dared come through with it. I mean, I'm just sitting here going, well, who's stepping forward? And my guides were doing all the talking. It's just like, you know, you tell them this is what they need to know, and just let it go, you know, because it's serving no purpose. That's, you're just going to keep feeding it, and it's something that needs to just be left alone. You know,
yeah.
She'll find out enough with the medical. The medical is important because it is her life. You know, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So, that was a really good reading. I really enjoyed that one. You know,
but the only thing I felt was from her father was atonement, and that's all I got.
Yeah, he's in a very, he's in
it's
a very,
his own doing.
He's in a very elementary place. Or
yeah.
He's a very elementary spirit. He's got a lot of development to do, and he knows the pain he's caused. And
very much.
If I had to pick an emotion for him, shame.
Yep.
And having
yep.
to live every single murder, every single thing he's done, and the people he's hurt, which it could fill 2 football stadiums. This guy is having to live their pain, and he ain't having a good time. And he will come out of this, and he'll go on and come back into the world again eventually. But he's a long ways away from that right now, you know. So there's some very talented people that were helping him, but you feel so, you know, there's a certain part of me that feels sorry for him for what he's done, you know, that he has to face that, and it's just, I mean, it's just icky. It's just a bad energy all the way around. I just when I touched on it, it was like, oof, recoil.
I just
want
to say welcome back, because you're great. You're still wonderful as ever.
Well, thank
and
you.
I'm
why
sorry
you
for that word. I'm sorry for that word last night, stagnating, but that's the word they wanted me to give you.
I was, you know, it's funny because I was kicking myself in the butt, and they were already riding my ass about it. I mean, to be very blunt, they were, you know, I mean, you just add the icing to the cake. I was like, yeah, I know. And it's like today they jumped on me and said, are you going to make the phone call and get your cases in gear? And I went, I've already got that planned. And so I called and made my arrangements. I got the very last day this summer that I can get the miner's cabin for our cases and get back into it. The team all came back together. Everybody's ready to go out there, kick ass and take names. And we're going to get out in the spirit world and do our thing again. You know, I've got plans. I'm getting help from a dear friend who's going to help me with, finishing my books, and help me do some editing. So that's kind of in the works. The ranch, you know, the whole ranch situation, I put that off. I was sort of paralyzed, I'll be honest. I mean, I was sort of paralyzed. And because
well, you've
of all
had
the
a
things
lot
that
going
on. Oh, yeah. And, so now we're at the point where I've taken over the ranch. Essentially, this is my place, and I've been putting a lot of work in, physical work in, getting things, you know, cleaned up, ready, fixed. So there's been reasons I've not been around, but it's just glad to be back. Let's put it that way. I couldn't stay away that long, and I needed to see you guys. I love you. So I love you. I love you, man. Oh, Rob, I love you. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, I've got the hot flash now. Ooh, it's so good to be back. Ooh,
oh, gosh.
Ooh, Mrs. Topfire is coming through.
Well, you're missed, John. I love you guys. I can't stay on too much longer.
Well, you know,
we love you too.
Thank you.
I have one question. Perspective on our first caller. What do you guys think?
Personally, I think she was full of shit myself. Excuse my language.
Okay, well, you know, it's interesting that I got a spirit that came through, but I think you could sense the change in my voice. I mean, it was a couple of meaningful EVPs came through, but I felt like we were being played, and I've had to learn. It's funny because I felt like we've learned a lot more about telling that when that's happening.
Yeah.
And I kind of brushed that along. When I started picking up, I went, I think there's more to this than meets the eye.
The feeling I got with you is you couldn't get her off quick enough, and that was a good thing in my book because I wanted her to go too.
Yeah, I just decided to speed it along and let's just move. Yeah, there's nothing to see here. There's a train wreck. Let's move along. Thank you. And
that's right.
Go on. Yeah. But, you know, it's, yeah, thank you guys. I appreciate the perspective there, yeah, because I was, it's hard for me, you know, because when you are honestly trying to read someone and you're really reaching out and you really are forming a spirit connection, but their intention is not good.
Right.
You know, it's difficult to tell that. And sometimes you need, you know, that's what the co-host and, you know, others pop in and say, and you guys are real good at that. But, you know, it was kind of mine to pick up this time. And I went, I felt proud of myself. I was like, I'm going to move that along.
I think that's the fastest I've ever seen you do an EVP session.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You were speeding
like,
from one section to the other to the other. But she sounded like she was really kind of like either high or drunk or something.
Yeah.
And if anybody was upset about her discussing stuff like that on the air, I don't know if it was this other person, or it was just somebody, or maybe it was all of us. Our energy that, you know, why don't you just, you know, stop it?
Yeah.
You know, if there was something this serious going on, you wouldn't be shooting your mouth off like that.
And laughing.
You know, and laughing about it.
Part.
That's why I thought. But in her speech, she sounded like she was under the influence of something.
Probably.
Yeah, that was the feeling I had. It was just there was something really wrong with the emotional response versus, you know, and then telling me,
her,
you know, talking about black helicopters, and it's like, come on, you know, I mean, really, do I have to do this kind of as my first reading coming back? I have to deal with this.
pretty much.
Okay. Yeah, I think they were like sizing me up. The other side was like, "Oh, we're gonna really screw with him. Let's do this. We'll put this one on." Woo! Okay, he's ready. He's cool. You know, but yeah, thank you guys for, you know, being there for me. And
I think you handled it well.
Yep.
Well, thank you. Yeah,
I really
well,
did.
You know,
sure, I handled it well.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? Well, we're back in it once a week, you know, and I'll be doing some guest appearances and stuff, I guess. So, yeah, I got Breath of Tara as the phone number here. And, yeah, and I'm open for others. So, hey, you know, I'll just keep on appearing places and do what I do, man. You know,
and you know me, John. I would have told her, carry it somewhere to somebody believes you, because I don't believe a word is coming out of your mouth.
Can I have you on special retainer? Can I have you record something and you could just say, this is a bunch of, and then just hang up.
You know what?
What? Hello?
I'm 918. I didn't realize if I was on or not. So.
Oh, my God. Hello.
The frying pan.
I didn't hear that first caller, and I think you did wonderfully well with her.
I did, too.
Yeah,
Was she sleep deprived?
I think that there was substance stuff going on, and it's been a challenge. Right. It's funny because it's been a challenge for us, in all seriousness, when people do that, and I, you know, and when you're on air doing shows, I mean, it's, you're going to have a certain amount of people that are going to come in and try to represent themselves is one thing, and they're, and or have an intent that is counter to what the show's about, and are going to try to play, you know, they're trying to pull a fast one.
Yeah.
And that was I was getting the ding 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 ding, and you know, normally I wouldn't talk about it, but you know, it's like I felt like I passed a milestone today, and I'm at the point where I really don't care, because you know, if they come here doing that and they're showing their rear end of the wagon train like this, it's like, hey, you know, I feel like I can say something about it, because in the past I would try to. And I did. I tried to smooth it over and just get moving along, please, and have a nice life. Bye. But
John got his BS meter going.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that from Mibs? You know, yeah. Yeah. This rate's a 9.0 on my weird meter.
I like that. My shit-o-meter.
Yeah. My weird shit-o-meter. And you know, and I really think that I need to have Kathy do a recording session with me so I could have these on hand with her voice come in. Just sit there and play her voice and go, go for some BS. You know, just come in and then I just
don't
go
forget your
go,
BS bar meter.
That's right.
Yeah,
follow
not,
me
I'm
that
not,
connection is what I usually say.
Yeah. What's that?
I usually say it just seems to be a bad connection. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. I'm going to get you on mute.
That's like one of those recordings that Chris plays says, the angels are telling me to hang up on you now.
Oh, no.
I think I'm going to get the... I'm going to get the danger. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, danger. Dr. Smith. I don't know. Oh, man. Well, God darn, guys. Yeah, it was a fun show tonight. Thank you all.
It was.
You know,
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a real relief. I mean, I'm sorry I've not been regular with everything. Just 6 years of parent stuff, it's been rough, you know? So,
okay.
But you know, mom, it's funny, mom, you were talking today and it's like, she's just going, you got to get on with life. You know, you can't be, you can't just hold off and quit having the rest of your life, you know, in between, not there. And you just need to keep doing what you do. So it was good advice and I'm glad I took it. So,
but we,
yeah.
I think we all understand your first priority.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's funny. I mean, after Dad passed in February, 2012, we had 5 surgeries with Mom, and then it's just been constant infections and constant little things. And so she got to the point where she was going, "We need to deal with the property. We need to get everything ready." And I'm going, "Well, I don't think you're checking out yet." And she's going, "You never know. So let's just be ready." So that's where the effort's been, you know. It's very sobering to be in legal places, you know, and dealing with all these contingencies. And you just are like, the whole business of death really sucks.
John, do you know how lucky you are that your mom has that attitude that,
very
you
much.
Know, you need to step in, you need to do it now, you don't know, because sometimes, like with my parents, it was a very, very difficult fight. And because what was happening with each one of them, neither one of them thought that there was too much wrong, you know?
Yeah.
My mom had dementia. My dad was having little strokes, you know? And you know, they weren't realizing the gravity of the situation. My own sister didn't realize the gravity of the situation. I was mentally screaming, there's something wrong. And, you know, people were looking at me like a tree full of owls. So, in essence, you are really blessed that your mom has got this attitude of, you know,
yeah.
a real level-headed person. You
yeah,
know, she wants everything to be in place so nobody's got to suffer and go through the tortures of the dam afterwards and deal with all kinds of snaggle things. You know, that's really a blessing.
And that's what I finally came to terms with that, because I didn't want to face it. I'd already lost one, and now the idea that, you know, a
yeah.
second one could happen. And
mm-hmm.
it's so funny. It's I finally realized, hey, it's the right thing to do. And, you know, so I'm the executor. I'm dealing with all these things and being trained in it and know what to do now. But, you know, it's just it got real, you know. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I mean, and dealing with the grief of Dad still, I mean, it's still there, you know, it's something that Kathy, when you first started, you know, working with me on this whole journey, it was like, I was so cavalier and I could read and, you know, and the other side was, you know, this was fun and interesting and new. And then all this stuff happened and man, talk about, you know, an eye opener. Now I know what they feel when they come to see you to read. I know why they're feeling the way they do and what they want. And you know, it's down to the core of their soul is what they need. They need to know their loved one's okay, and you know why, you know. So,
yep.
Oops, I think we lost Kathy. I think we lost her. So, anyway, well, I'll tell you what, guys. 11:49, I love you.
Can you get a quick reading for me?
What's that?
Could you do a quick reading?
Oh, for you right now?
If you don't mind, I haven't
I could do that.
Had a reading in so long.
Okay.
And the moon was so pretty. And
Father,
if you don't feel like you're on, that's fine.
No. Actually, I'm good. You got me here. All the electrons are flowing. Everything's cool. I got spirits hanging around. We're having a great time. Everything's happening. I'm cooking. Hey, let's read.
Okay.
I feel the need.
I don't want to overwhelm you.
I feel the need to read. Let me see here. Let's see. Actually, I've got that. I've got that someplace. Don't I have this someplace? I thought I had the can. Where did my recordings all go? God, Blog Talk did some stuff on me. Jesus Christ. Are these guys? Okay, well, just
Troops is filmed on location with the men of the Imperial Forces. All suspects are guilty, period. Otherwise, they wouldn't be suspect, would they?
There you go. I'm feeling comedy around you, and I don't know why. It's like there's a spirit around you that's trying to make me laugh and make me do weird things. What are you looking for, my dear? As far as is there a particular?
I don't know if it's the supermoon or I've been emotional this afternoon, and just at a crossroads. Yeah, I think most people look for reading when they're at a crossroads. And is that specific enough, or
I'm feeling funny. I'm feeling, you're talking about a crossroads, so there's a serious component to this, but the person I've got coming through is making me laugh like hell. Now, there's somebody there. There's two of them. One's a man and one's a woman. There's two spirits coming through. Both of them are funnier than a crutch, and they're wanting you to... They're wanting you to lighten up. Oh, God. Okay. I'm feeling like uncle energy on one, and I don't know who the female is yet, but I'm feeling an uncle energy. I'm trying to place this. This person has been dead a while, but they're getting a kick out of you. I mean, have you had, like, serious... You're talking about crossroads. It's like, are you being uber serious about this right now? And don't tell me what it is.
Yes, serious.
Okay,
yes,
so, serious. And how serious is it? That's kind of the thing I'm getting here. Is it like life intense serious? Is it life and death serious?
A game change. It's a definite big game change.
A what change?
Like a big game change when they talk about it. It's a game change.
Oh, it's a game changer. Yeah. So it changes the board, changes the strategies, changes everything in your life. So the thing that's big, what I've got in front of me when I put this next to you and the first symbol that they're showing me is it's like a big question mark. This is an unknown for you. You've never done this before, right? Whatever this is?
Correct.
And so you're having to, this is, it's like a leap of faith. That would be the word.
Mm-hmm.
Leap of faith. I mean, you're just having to trust that if you do this, this is a trust thing with you then.
Very much so.
Okay. Relationship. Is this a significant other relationship? A romantic?
What?
Is it romantic?
Yeah. I'm not married.
Huh?
No.
What are you doing?
Oh. No, is it a romantic relationship, or is there somebody, I'm feeling like love, but is it like
romance.
A significant other?
It's two completely different worlds.
But is it significant, is it romantic? I mean, is it a personal relationship? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why, because I was like going, okay, what is it, career?
Romance.
Yeah, and it's personal, and so they told me personal, and then... this person Very logical. Is this person very illogical, kind of cerebral, this person that you're with?
He's brilliant.
Yeah. Kind of emotionally stilted a little?
He's a little obsessive.
Okay, but kind of, you know, kind of, all right, so, you know, that kind of qualifies, because I'm feeling like he's kind of limited in some of the emotional aspects. You know, he's not, what I'm getting is, you know, not the most abundant communicator. That would be that's kind of the things I just might be able to say it. Yeah, he's just not.
He has a public persona.
Pardon
but
me?
Privately, it's different. He has a public persona where he's very approachable, but that's not the real him.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, the real person. You know, whatever he does in his regular career, you know, we all wear masks like that. But what I'm talking about is with you, you know, it's a different thing. Not to say that there isn't true love there, because there seems to be a real good connection there. But what I'm saying is he's got some areas, there's some things that, you know, that he's still developing, would be the word. And you're still figuring that out, where the buttons are and how this all works. So is this a fairly new relationship?
I've known him for 6 years, but it's been like this, more increasing for the last 2 years.
Okay,
and
so...
I cannot stress how different our worlds are.
And so... the question of what you know versus what you're giving up, and what you're giving up versus, you know, jumping into this complete unknown is what's, you know what you've got in the hand, but what you're jumping into, you really have no clue. And that's the part that scares you.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah. And what I'd say is this, this is going to be, I don't know that you're going to like this, but I mean, the two spirits I've got, our family are just, they're telling you, you're big girl. We're big girl panties, especially what this woman's saying. Oh my God. And this uncle, I don't know that you've ever met this uncle. I think this goes back a ways. So but I'm not getting anything out of them about names or anything, but they are relatives. And, but what I'm getting with this is you're supposed to just overcome your fears. And, you know, this is going to come at you one way or another. You're going to have to change your life and accommodate, upending your world and dealing with it. And it's a question of what you want in your own heart. Once you realize in your own heart what's right, the rest of the accoutrements are they're not material. They're no longer a concern. It's your question about how you feel about him and a relationship with him, and then build a life around that. That's it. And they're making that abundantly clear, but they are laying it on you. This is your decision. You have to decide how you feel about him and where you're going to take it. And if you and they're being kind of buttheads about it. It's like, because you're kind of wavering, and they're really busting your chops and saying you have to make the decision. You know, he's not going to wait around forever. He's not going to understand it if you just keep on, going the way you're going. So I think that it's basically make a decision, you know what, or get off the pot. And sometimes losing everything means you gain everything, is what they're saying. And this is coming from the uncle.
Okay.
This uncle energy. Did your father have brothers?
Yeah. He does have a few that died. My father's deceased, and there are 6 boys and 1 girl.